And thanks to all the volunteers, I think you get a sense that there's quite a bit that goes into, say, organizing a retreat like this, and many people kind of behind the scenes and up front. So thanks to all. And I also think it appropriate to acknowledge that we gather and sit on the traditional territories of the Saanich, Esquimalt, and Songhees, who have a historical and deep relationship to the land. And so this is also is part of our history. So as Rhonda mentioned, the title of the retreat is Seeing for Ourselves. So I'll give you some of my own reflections on this teaching and draw on teachings from the Buddha, the suttas, and from other Buddhist teachers, and also teachers from other wisdom traditions. So it's a silent retreat, but so it's kind of sometimes unusual that you're sitting beside your neighbor and not talking and for the day. So I'd just like to have for a few minutes, like maybe 5 minutes, to turn, maybe make groups of three or four, and just introduce yourself to your neighbors in your vicinity. See if you can say hi to somebody you don't know very well. And so we'll just take 3 or 4 minutes to do that. Well, I think it's kind of a nice sound to hear. It's just a little kind of like a cocktail party or something. So what we will do today, well, the most important thing probably, I haven't posted a schedule, but we'll have lunch from 12:30 to 1:30. And otherwise, it's mainly periods of sitting meditation and walking meditation, and if you're out, someone will ring a bell 5 minutes before we need to reassemble. There'll be some chanting, some guided meditations, and actually very fortunate that June has been volunteered, I guess, to lead some Qigong exercises after lunch. So that's, you don't have to, but it's, I think it'd be a nice thing to do at that time of day. And it includes some guided meditation, movement, and chanting as well. I'll give a Dharma talk this afternoon as well, and then we'll end at 4:30. So Eric?
Will that be in here?
Yeah. Yeah, we might just rearrange things a little bit, but not too much. Any questions just about the day?
Walking outside in the rain?
Well, that's optional, but there's also some areas upstairs for walking, and there's kind of a covered deck area as well. I think it's covered, yeah, or some of it is anyway. So just kind of find a place for walking. I had some copies of this as refuges and or prefit. Precepts chant. Does anybody not have one of these? Or if you could, okay, you could share with a neighbor. We've got a couple extras. Or if you could look on with a neighbor. So we'll go through and chant the homage, which is on the top. We'll just do the Pali, and it's three times, and it's repetitive, so you kind of catch on, just join in as you like. Some people are familiar with this. And then we'll do the, so that's the homage, then the refuge. We'll just do the Pali. Again, it's very repetitive with a simple kind of melody. And then for the five precepts, what I think we'll do is I'll chant the Pali, and then we'll just say the English together. So if you're game, we'll start the chant. So just join in as you like. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. Kamesu michachara veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. Musavada veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech. Sura mereya maja pamadatana veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which lead to carelessness. So taking refuge, we can view that as, say, in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, as the kind of recognizing there are qualities that the Buddha and cultivated and taught through the Dharma and others learned through the Sangha. So this is one way we can reflect on the refuge, the three refuges. Then the five precepts, these are really intentions of non-harm. So these are five gifts that we can offer to ourselves and to the world. And I don't think I need to tell you, if you look at disturbing things in the news, you can probably see lots of precepts being broken, but we don't need to break precepts. So just over here on this table, I thought we would have this. There's a Kuan Yin statue on it and a few other things, like a little altar. And if someone comes to mind that you would like to dedicate merit to, or you think just to keep in mind who might be suffering, you can write their name and just deposit it on the table. Also, if you kind of someone comes to mind who is inspiring, say a teacher or some person, you can also write that name down and put it on the table, just to kind of keep these people in mind, and that we're not just practicing here in a little bubble, but we're connected to lots of people, and people who might be suffering or people who are inspiring. Just one question. Is there anybody here who's just absolutely brand new to meditation, who's not meditated before, or pretty new, yeah? All right. I know there's some people who haven't, say, been at Goward House. But welcome to all to everyone, and welcome to the new people. The Buddha made a striking statement. It's kind of in the Dhammapada. And that statement is that our mind can be our friend or our enemy. And the Buddha actually didn't just leave it there. He actually said that our mind can be our best friend, or our mind can be our worst enemy. So it seems like a strong statement, or a striking statement. And that's something I'd like to suggest that we reflect on, kind of each of us just ask ourselves that question throughout the day. Not so important to answer the question or come up with a definitive answer, but just to periodically put that thought in the mind of, well, and make it more personal of, oh, we have some space to watch how our minds operate, and just have that question, well, how can my mind be my friend? Or how can my mind be the enemy, and how can I avoid that? So one thing that I think is useful in this, with this question of how can our mind be our friend, is if we can separate out the mind from the mind states that kind of pass through. And different teachers talk about this in different ways. They use different languages, as I have observed. So here's a quote from Richard Wagamese from a book called Embers, which I like very much. Richard Wagamese is an Ojibwe, and this is called Embers, One Ojibwe's Meditations. So this is from this book. I am not the endless chatter in my head. I am the me who recognizes that chatter is happening. I am not the me who is impatient at the grocery line or at the stoplight. I am the me who recognizes and acknowledges that impatience. If I take a breath and change the chatter to, this is me waiting calmly, that is what the experience becomes. Practicing this simple awareness allows me to be present in all moments, to fully inhabit my life. So that is one way of kind of seeing how these mind states are temporary and they come and go, but we mistake them for being, oh, that's who I am now. And this is something I read quite a long time ago, and it just stayed with me. There's a teacher who's a monk in the Thai forest tradition. He died in the early 1990s. His name is Ajahn Chah. And he was describing, or this is a description of when he was a very young monk meeting his teacher. So Ajahn Chah as a young monk meeting the person who would become his teacher, whose name is Ajahn Mun. On the second night, Ajahn Mun gave more teachings, and Ajahn Chah felt that he had come to the end of his doubts about the practice that lay ahead. He felt a joy and rapture in the Dhamma that he had never known before. Now what remained was for him to put this knowledge into practice. The most clarifying explanation was of a distinction between the mind itself and the transient states of mind that arise and pass away within it. In the words of Ajahn Chah, Tan Ajahn Mun said, they're merely states. Through not understanding that point, we take them to be real, to be the mind itself. In fact, they're all just transient states. As soon as he said that, things suddenly became clear. Most people lump together everything as the mind itself, but actually there are states of mind and the knowing of them. If you understand that point, there's not a lot to do. So as I said, this point here, I think, is a very important point to kind of separate the mind from the states of mind. And sometimes teachers would refer to the mind as kind of the knowing of the states. So there's the states and then there's the knowing of them. Or some people use the term awareness. So there's states of mind and awareness of the states, but the awareness kind of keeps on going, whereas the states of mind kind of just come and go. And if you've ever been on a retreat with Steve Armstrong, some of you probably have, he has a little thing, it almost looks like sock puppets, where he goes, there's the mind, and there's the knowing of the mind. And he will do that several times throughout the day. So that's one suggestion I have, is just to kind of keep that in mind, that when different states of mind arise, like it could be kind of something pleasant, or it could be irritation, just to see, oh, there's irritation and there's the knowing of that. There's awareness, but the awareness is where we could also put our attention, the quality of awareness that knows that. So just before we sit, a couple more quotes. One is from the teacher Sharon Salzberg. So when she was practicing, this is a quote from her. My teacher, Munindra, said to me in a kind way, early on in my practice, the Buddha's enlightenment solved the Buddha's problem. Now you solve yours. So that's an interesting statement, right? Like, the Buddha's enlightenment solved his problem. Now you solve yours. Now, fortunately, it was said in a kind way. I found that, this is in Sharon Salzberg's words, I found that to be the most inspiring statement because it implied that I could, in fact, solve my own problem. The teachings of the Buddha say that no one else will accomplish our freedom from suffering for us, and that no one else needs to, because we can actually do it ourselves. It is our own effort that brings this potential to life. And just lastly, another quote from Richard Wagamese, all we have are moments, so live them as though not one can be wasted. Inhabit them, fill them with the light of your best good intention. Honor them with your full presence. Find the joy, the calm, the assuredness that allows the hours and the days to take care of themselves. If we can do that, we will have lived. So just again, this reflection of how our mind can be our best friend and how we can avoid our mind from being our enemy. So I think we'll sit for about 30 minutes. And if you, during sitting, you get uncomfortable, just mindfully kind of move or change your position. It's not, an endurance kind of activity. But also, if we do have moments of pleasure, that's okay too. That's allowed. So I'm just going to use a guided meditation. And I think it's good to start the day just with awareness of body. So this is my suggestion. If you want to do a different meditation, just let the words kind of come and go. But this is a meditation that Ajahn Jeff will often use. So we just start kind of relaxing into our posture, paying attention to our posture, the combination of being relaxed, yet alert. You can just feel the lower part of our body sitting and the sensations on the chair or the cushion, the legs are firmly connected with the earth, the upper body. The spine is upright, kind of a rising feeling with the spine. We could imagine from the crown of the head, a string just pulling gently up. And just to begin, just thinking some thoughts of goodwill. This could be goodwill for people who are close to us. Anyone who comes to mind, just wishing goodwill. Or we could just send that goodwill out to all directions. To north, to south, east, west, above, below, just these thoughts of goodwill. And don't forget, when we're sending thoughts of goodwill, we are included as well. We are wishing ourselves goodwill. Now just get in touch with the breath, the breathing, the activity of breathing. And I'm just going to kind of guide us through the body and just imagine you're breathing good energy into these different locations. So in the belly area, breathing into the belly. And breathe in a way that's comfortable. If we notice any tension in that area, as best we can, just to let that go, just to relax. We can experiment with different kinds of breathing, long, short, or deep, shallow, just to see what feels comfortable. Trying to maintain awareness through the entire in-breath and the entire out-breath. Then shift the attention up to the solar plexus. Again, just seeing how it feels in that area. Breathe in a way that's comfortable. And shifting the attention up to the heart area, or the middle of the chest. Just imagining the breath going to this area. If you feel any tension arising, just as best we can to release that tension, to relax. Now moving the attention up to the throat area. Imagine we're breathing into that area. We can even imagine the breath coming in directly at the throat. Just breathe in a way that's comfortable. Now, using the imagination, imagine we're breathing right into the center of the head. You can imagine breath coming in through the eyes or ears, as well as the nose or mouth. The breath can be this light, airy material. Now we're just going to use the imagination, imagining the breath more as an energy that can flow through the body. So imagine now we're breathing in to the back of the neck, and breathing, the breath energy goes down the arms to the fingers. And on the out breath, this energy just dissipates through all these points. Next, we'll breathe into the same spot, the back of the neck, but imagine the energy going down either side of the spine to the base of the spine. And on the exhalation, it dissipates from that entire area. Next, we imagine we're breathing in at the base of the spine and the breath energy going down our legs, calves, and feet all the way to the toes. The exhalation just dissipating from all those points. Then for the last 10 minutes of this meditation, just choose an area in the body that it feels comfortable and breathe into that area. Just make that area, wherever you choose, as comfortable as possible. If the mind is wandering off, we just notice that and gently bring it back, our attention to our meditation object. And for the last couple of minutes of the meditation, just again bring up some feelings of goodwill. We could, might focus on the heart area, goodwill for those who are close to us, or just sending out goodwill in all directions.